remain standing for prayer. Almighty God and eternal Father in heaven, we come to thee this morning amid the turmoil and fighting and carrying on in this world. Lord, we come to begin another new year, reaching out to a lost and dying world one more time. And Lord, we don't know how much time some have left. We know many have left since we were here the last time this time yet. But God, you keep keeping us here for some reason. May we find that and diligently work at it to bring honor and glory to you, that others might be saved. Pray for our families, for our friends that we know. God, we pray for our church. We pray it might be a continuing outreach to a lost and dying world. Lord, we thank you for loving us, for saving us. And that song rings true in my heart, and I hope every heart here this morning. It surely is well. Thank God, that wonderful, wonderful feeling inside my breast when the Holy Spirit comes in and assures me that it is well. When it talks about all those things nailed to the cross, your precious blood that took care of every sin, every jot, every tittle, every little thing and every big thing. Oh God, thank you for loving me that much. And any be here today without Christ could have the same assurance. These things are written, the Bible says, that you may know that you have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Of years of late, I never turned to that passage that Woody read about the prodigal son, or excuse me, he had read about the prodigal son. And as I prepare to bring a message about a new beginning, I think about a time, 1957, I had graduated in 1956 from Maeslick High School in Maeslick, Kentucky. And I had not left the home yet, but I was doing some crazy stuff. And I remember coming in one morning. I was working a night shift at a factory in town. And I'd come home, but most mornings I stayed, didn't come home till late. Dad won't know why I didn't come home and help him with the chores. The other kids had already gone to school. But I remember this particular morning, etched in my mind forever. My dad didn't say a word to me that morning. Ate breakfast side by side, didn't say a word. He got up, cleared his throat, walked to the barn. Mom said, "John, your father has had it with you. Your clothes are in that box. When you leave today, make sure you take them all because you're not coming back." My heart went from my throat down to my stomach like a thud. Being told I was no longer welcome at home was a big thing for an 18-year-old kid who had not been out of that part of the world. I remember picking up that cardboard box, not very big, and taking it. It was 4 years after that, an experience with the Army and overseas and on some special missions, that I came home. My dad met me, and we never discussed that time in my life again. 2 years later, he died from the cancer that he had. Folks, you never know when or how you're going to go. But thank God we can have a new beginning. The time, and we ought to do that now. I'm not big on making a bunch of promises that you know you probably not keep. You're going to lose weight, or you're going to do this or that. best thing you can do is give forgiveness to any who have wronged you. You don't want to carry any loads. It's a time to review our priorities, what's important. When you're laid in that casket, all that money that you had or all those bills you owed, gone forever, no more. And it's a time to set new goals and say, from this time on out, I'm going to be in church, I'm going to read my Bible, whatever it is. We find this young man, like the age in which we live, went to his father and said, Dad, I want what's mine out of what you have. I don't know the exact conversation, doesn't give us a lot of details, but he wanted to have his ownership over any inheritance that his dad was to give him. His dad didn't miss words, so the scripture doesn't tell us he did. And he gave it to him, and he left home, thinking he was going to set the world on fire, I suppose, and maybe he had enough of that to do. He was younger of two brothers. The Bible says he took a journey. Not many days after that conversation, he gathered up. I'm sure he had more than a cardboard box to take his clothes and whatever he had. But it says he took a journey. He went into a far country. Let me tell you, brothers, let me tell you, sisters, when you had parent upbringing, another praying, and you start drifting away from the teaching that you had as a child and the education and the school housing, and you start drifting away into far places that you never dreamed you'd be into. I could recall horror stories to you. A dumb kid out of Kentucky winds up overseas. And I said it before and I'd say it again. The only thing that kept me alive was my mother's prayers. Dear God, don't let him die. Keep him long enough that he gets some brains in his stupid head and gets you in his heart. I heard her pray some of that time when before I left home, when I'd be sneaking in. Even before I got out of school, I had an older brother. We stayed in the same room. I'd come to the window. Shh, Rob, open the window. He'd open the window, let me in. A few minutes I was asleep, and it seemed like less than that. Whoa, time to get up. Sometime later in that day, he'd get me in a corner and he'd say, John, you're going to get me in trouble one of these days. You better stop what you're doing. But I liked that younger son. I thought I was having a ball, setting the world on fire. But notice, he wasted his substance with riotous living. The first thing I said to my mother, when she said, get the box, I said, Mom, a few days ago I gave you some money I was saving up. She came out and handed me the money, said, there it is. It wasn't long that little bit of money was gone. The devil doesn't care how long it takes to get into your life. He doesn't come and get it all at the first glance. He might just get your attention. I don't know how many visits he made to the tree in the garden. I don't know how many times he talked to Eve. But he will spend his time dangling his pretty trinkets in front of you, telling you what a great time you'd have, and showing you all kinds of things. Oh, gosh, I'm hot. Do you guys think it's okay if I take my jacket off? I don't know what's going on, but it's hot in here. I got a little bit of clothes on. Wow. Back, talk to Gary Dole sometime. I forgot about him. Back when I was used to preach all the revivals back 40 years ago, I'd take my tie off. Back in those days, I wore the, what do you call those, cufflinks. They'd go flying, my tie would go flying. but we'd have always have people at the altar to altar call. Oh, it was sweet. But the devil wants all you got. He wants your testimony. He wants your influence. He wants your family. He wants your home. He wants to destroy you. And he's willing to take his time a little bit at a time. And the things that look beautiful into you in life, to him, is just another way of tempting you and drawing you. Be careful. Be careful. You can apply this scripture to a young man like me, or you can apply it to a friendship or a relationship to your church or a relationship to your family. The devil is in the business of destroying, of killing, of getting rid of things that are good in your life. And if you're not saved, he wants to keep you in that corner all he can. Notice number three, it says, after he took a journey, he spent all. He spent it all. That money that I gave my mother, I think, was about $60, $20, three $20 bills. I thought, wow, what a loan till I was bumming cigarettes. Yeah, could I have a cigarette? And one guy used to tell me, everyone said, well, you want me to kick you and get it started for you? Can you light it? Making fun of me being out of money, no more. But the devil wants everything you have that's worth anything. And you'll spend it all. Once he gets hook, line, and sinker into you, you're done. You're down his dad's influence, his dad's comfortable way of living, his dad's lot of money was gone. He's in a far country. They don't speak the same language. They don't like the same things. There arose a famine. He got hungry. No money. What are you going to eat? How are you going to live? And he began to be in want. You have natural desires. And those natural desires are meant to be good for you if you keep them under control and headed in the right direction. You find yourself messed up with the wrong people, in the wrong places, doing the wrong things. You can get mad. You can say, well, I don't have to listen to that. No, you don't. But one day you will before God. This sermon will ring in the notes and ears of people in hell because they listened, but they didn't take heed. I don't want to hear that stuff. I'll do my own thing. I don't need this. I don't need mom and dad. I don't need this house. I don't need these rules. I don't need God. I don't need anything. I got it all. I can do it. After a while, I got my brother's old car because he had left home, left the old car there. I roughed that old car, 50 Ford convertible. I'll never forget it. And I was showing people how to spin. And finally, I tore reverse gear out of it. And I would always find me a little hill and go and pull up that hill and then let it roll backwards, then take off again. And if you pop that thing in second, and then you can slip it down low without scraping the gears. I thought I was a cool cat. I thought I was smarter. I thought I had it all. But I was in want. I was in need. Finally joined the army. I knew I'd get some clothes and get some shoes on my feet. This man went out, young man went out and hired himself to do any kind of work. Any kind of work. There's one thing that really detests me. Is people who live or work or visit a building, and you ready for this? And they use the bathroom, and they won't clean up their mess. That really disgusts me. Does it disgust anybody else? Anybody won't clean? I don't believe in clean motives, Father. Who do you think is going to clean? And I like that sign that says, clean up your mess. Your mama don't work here. Amen. But sometimes I went in some of the homes of the mamas, and they didn't do much better, I guess. But he got a job. This guy's going to give me a job. He said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go down yonder. Now remember, this is a Jew boy. The Jews don't like hogs too well. Did you ever go driving down the road on 81 or something, and all of a sudden you get this smell? You look up and there's a big tractor and trailer, and you can see the nose holes of a hog. Think, oh me. That'll make you pull over to rest stop and wait a while, won't it? I'll tell you another one, Will. Did you ever go driving down the road and all of a sudden you'd see a tractor and trailer and on the side of it it'd say so-and-so's Hirsch Company? And you look down, you're driving about 25, 30 mile over speed limit. I guess I'll stop and have a cup of coffee or something. I don't think I want to stay with them too long. That's what you're going to do now, young man. You're going to go down there and feed the hogs. Well, I don't have anything to eat. And he was going to eat what the hogs didn't, but it says the other people who come got that, I guess fed it to the chickens. I don't know. Wow. We've come a long ways from Dad's house, from Dad's rules, from Mom's request. Wow. I remember when I was kind of carousing around before I got tutors. I'd come home. There'd be a piece of pie left there, and Mom would have another, John, I love you. I'd eat that pie. I could taste that other side of the world at night when I lay in my bunk and thought, boy, this time, John, you really did it. You really messed up. You really messed up. And I don't know how it was that anyone was in the service, but if you had KP the next day, they warned you in the kitchen early. And how they got you there, they tied a white towel on the end of your bunk. So when the man come in with a flashlight, not waking everybody up, get up, Hodge, you got KP. No, I don't. Somebody pulled a trick on you. They come in, took a towel off and put it on yours. That was learning fast. Then another night when I was on CQ, I heard a big ruckus upstairs. I went up there. There was one black guy, had an entrenching tool. You know what they're like with that fold-up blade? He had that over his shoulder. Had the other four backs up and said, well, I'm going to kill you, blankety blank. Whoa. Sailed asked me next day, what'd you do? I said, sir, I didn't get too close to him because I was afraid they'd swing and miss and hit me. You're supposed to stop that kind of stuff. Well, what, I didn't have a gun. What was I going to do? But he had to feed the hogs. Come on in, feed the hogs. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going from a kind of life where hogs is something that's detested and now eating what they won't eat, what's left over? Wow. Any kind of work. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed the swine. And he was going to eat the husk, what come off of that, where they ate. And he would have filled himself that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. We ought to learn something from that, if we haven't already. And if we've already learned, we ought to teach it to our children, to our relatives, to our kin folks. You can ride high in that today, but you start riding without God, without rules on your life. I don't like rules. I don't like rules. God has rules. The Bible says in the beginning he created two lights, a big light called the sun, to rule the day, and a lesser one, moon to rule at night. God believes in rules. The Ten Commandments are rules. The first five of the Ten Commandments tells you what God wants from you, how you're to treat Him. The second five is how you're to treat other people. God first, others second, you last. You know what's wrong with this country and what's wrong with people? People sitting in church, and some of you are sitting here, it's all about me. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I don't have to. No, you don't have to. I got in trouble because I wouldn't shoot a second lieutenant. I despise second lieutenants. So he drugged me in before the old man. That's the CO. Hodge, why don't you shoot him? Because he ain't worthy of it, sir. Well, he wears the uniform. He told the lieutenant to go and sit me down. He said, Hodge, you're not doing anything to him. What he's wearing is the U.S. Army. You honor that. I said, oh, okay. I'm saluting the Army, all the way Army. Okay. Did that. But you got to have rules in your life. You got to say, I'm going to get up a certain time. You got to say, I'm going to be at the boss's place of work at a certain time. I mean, how can you live? Then when you go in the house and something here and something there, you don't know where anything is because you have no rules. And then those kids grow up and they have no rules. And then they get married and have kids and they have no rules. What a mess. What a mess. That's where we are. That's where we are. And he came to himself, verse 17. You see, he finally sat down and said, this is me. How did I get this way? How did I get this far from God? How did I mess up so bad? I thought I was doing right. Yeah, all for me. Give me what's coming to me, Dad. I'm going to go live it up. I don't need you and Mom, my brother, this house. Just give me what I got coming now. How did I ever mess up so bad? How did I ever disregard the rules that Dad had so long? John, your father said, take the box and go. So those words still ring in my heart. He said, you know what? There's servants at my dad's house. They're eating better than this. I'll go and tell my dad I'm not worthy to be in his son anymore. Make me one of the hired servants. Wow. Humility. You don't have to humble yourself. Just keep doing what you're doing and God will humble you. God will humble you. God asks you to. In that prayer in 2 Chronicles, if we humble ourselves, just keep doing what you're doing for a while, then God will humble you. I remember one night, after a night of totally inebriated, went to a stoplight. I don't even remember getting in the stoplight. I hit another car and knocked it clear through the stoplight. I remember that little Chinaman coming up to my door. What's the matter? You know can drive? I said, look like I did pretty good and knocked you out of the intersection. Still hadn't gotten humbled, had I? Humble. I perish with hunger. They got plenty to eat. I will arise. I'm going to get out of this mess, out of this slum. Yours may not be a physical or money. It just may be an attitude. You don't visit your family anymore. Forgive them for all that stuff. Forgive them. They may never forgive you, but forgive them. When you sang that song, it's nailed to the cross, it's well with my soul. I can't control his soul. I got a sister that's slowly getting around to forgiving our dad of things that she didn't like. She's 70, 73 years old. Come on. What's it worth? What's it matter? I'm not sitting on that side of the church. She sits over there. I'm not singing in the choir because so-and-so's in. What's it worth? What is it worth? I passed so-and-so coming out of the store, so I turned and went the other way. What is it worth? Does it give you any good feeling? Or do you have that, well, you got to look out for me. No, no. If you forgive people, the Bible says God will forgive you. And if you don't forgive them, the Bible says God will not forgive you. And you go around with that hanging. The Bible says husbands and wives, that they're not to be all upset with each other because their prayers are not answered. And then you have husbands and wives in a church where more people are like that. Prayers are not answered. And so we just have a make-believe church and not a real church. And we have a pretend salvation. We know the words. We know the line. We know the scripture. We could probably find it quicker than anybody else. But we don't have it in our heart. We don't have that forgiveness and that sweet freedom that we can smile at everybody we meet and say good morning to you and keep walking, because we know the love of God that passes all understanding, and it is well with my soul. Come on in, the Heavenly Father will say. And I'm sure somewhere, sometime, in that line of welcome me home, will be a mother and a dad that will say, welcome home, John. Welcome home. My Johnny boy has come home. Praise God. And from where I sit and stand, don't look like it'll be too terribly long. Praise God. It is well. I don't want to have to meet him unprepared. Amen. It is well. Of all the things, and you know, I gotta hang on to my money. People are always trying to get my money. When you lay there, they're gonna get it all anyway. They're gonna get every dime of it. And if they don't get it, the government will get it, and then Nancy Pelosi will have it. And don't that make you feel good? Yeah, might as well give it to the church or some of your kids or somebody before you leave, because when the government starts taking it, and they'll even take it and charge them interest on it, on your money that you labored for. Hey, ain't that good news this morning? We're starting a new year. We want to get started right. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to make a change, because I've sinned against heaven. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. You don't know what my dad was like. No, you don't know what mine was like either. But the Bible says to honor. Honor. When my dad was dying in the Veterans Hospital in Fayetteville, North Carolina, my brother, who always did things right, he come in, looked at dad. His wife said, we got to get home back to Kentucky. I said, Rob, I don't think Dad's going to be here long. I wouldn't run off too quick. Well, Nancy thinks, yeah. Nancy took him. Before he got home, Dad passed away. Make a change while you have time. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Not worthy, that humility. Verse 19, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. You see, when he was in that hog pen, he got a good education. He already said that in the hog pen, didn't he? I'm going to tell him, I'll be one of the hired servants, less than that. He already said that. So he was true to his word. He could come home and say, oh, Dad, I had a rough time and lost it all. His dad loved him by men. But no, he was honest with God and honest with man. The biggest problem you have in life, I have in life, is right here. When we look in the mirror in the morning, the devil is trying to get us. This sinful world is trying to get us. But the biggest problem we have is right here. And when we get that guy straightened out, gal straightened out, other things will fall in place. And if they don't, you're not responsible. I've sinned. Listen to that confession. And the Son said to the Father, I have sinned. We're afraid to say that word today. Well, I got right with the Lord. How do you know? How do you know? When I say, God, take all my sin. So many, I don't know how many. I can't count them. But please take them all. It is well. That cleansing fountain seems to flow up inside when we do that. And it is well with my soul. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to call thy son. Wow. Look what his dad did. That first time I was with my dad after about 4 years, I thought, what's he going to say? Am I going to get a sermon again? Is he going to tell me I can't come home? I stood there with my hands in my pockets, my army duffel bag in my bag. My dad looked at me and he said, John, you look like you need something to eat. Would you like to go get something to eat? Wow. Peace like a river. Peace like a river. This boy's father said, bring the fatted calf, that one we've been saving. This is the moment we saved it for. We saved it for this moment when my son, who was lost, has come home, and now we can have a feast. And bring a coat. We'll put a good coat on him, get those raggedy clothes off, and take a bath, and I'll put the good coat on you. Getting out a ring, I'll put a ring on his hand. Oh, glory, my son has come home. Hallelujah. Can't you imagine God saying, when Jesus had taken our sins, all the sins of every one of us, every human being, and put them on the cross, and God punished him for our sin, and then when he came home to heaven, there's my son, and the angels gathered around as God said, welcome home, my son. Welcome home. Glory to God. And he died and went alive again for me and for you. Aren't you glad? Let's start the new year out right. You got any gripes? You got any complaints? That's what the altar's for. You don't need to tell everybody else what's wrong with them. Just get what's wrong with you right, and everything will be okay. When you see through the prism of God's word forgiveness to you, then you don't worry about other people. Forgive me, O Lord, for I have sinned against thee. I have sinned against thee. I didn't honor you. I didn't honor our mother. I run off thinking I knew more than I knew. God help me. Bring the fatted calf. Wow. Let us eat and be merry. I hope you have a nice day today and begin the new year tomorrow or whenever you start it. I hope you're prosperous. I hope it's well with your soul. I hope you've got everything taken care of. Because believe me, next time you get all out of bed, you might not be in bed. You might be in front of God. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you know before you I stand, and you know my life sure has not been perfect. But one thing I have done, tried to do every day, is take my sins to thee. I've carried grudges. I've got rid of those. Lord, thank you for taking my stupidity. Thank you for taking everything that drags me down and keeps me from doing what you want me to do. Lord, I'm yours until you call me home, and then I'll really be yours. I pray if there be anyone in this house this morning with the slightest taint, with the slightest bit of sin of any kind, just an angry thought, whatever, I pray they make it right today. It is well with my soul. While the piano plays softly, if it's well with your soul, could you raise your hand and say, it's well with my soul. I hold no grudge against no man or woman. I'm not upset with anybody. I forgive all those who hate me. God bless you. If you want to come to the altar and pray for someone you know that won't forgive you of some stupid thing, come right on. That's what the altar's for. The altar's open for you. I pray it's not me, but if it is me, come tell me. I'd be glad to tell you I'm sorry and make do whatever I can do to correct anything I've done to hurt you in any way, in my stupid way. God loves us. God loves us. Thank you for coming today. One more thing I'll share with you. This has been the best Christmas I've ever had. We had so many gifts. But beside that, for the first Christmas that I can remember we had, that I didn't dread some of them coming in. I mean, it was some for the family. I'm just thinking, But this time, I was so glad to see them, and they kept telling me how good I looked, and I thought, wow. And not one of them had any bad thing to say, and I just thought that God is true to His Word. I don't know if they left with problems or not. They didn't tell me, and so it's been a very happy time. God bless all of you all. Don't forget prayer meeting Wednesday night, all right? And remember, next Sunday night, we'll have, after the evening service, we'll have some child-to-child one. And we'll enjoy that, right? Anybody got anything they need to say? Just burn in your throat and say, I've got to say it. The day the squirrel went berserk and the birds of pasture. And you ever remember that song? Yeah, Ray Stevens. And then what he done all through the Christmas season was, Santa Claus is watching you. Break my heart and leave me alone. Oh, John, don't be so foolish. But I have fun. I enjoy my life. I enjoy church. Enjoy you. God bless you. Have a good day. Yes, sir. Mr. Detweiler, would you have our closing prayer, please?